Chapter 9. Port Sanctus. Vesperalis System. After giving the order to translate, Rafal Kulik muttered a few lines of a prayer to the Emperor. He hated this moment. Always had. Ever since his first voyage aboard the Furious Pilgrim and that fateful warp jump from Alexis, the process of translating had filled him with a physical sickness and an existential dread. At least, he no longer threw up with each transition. That had been cured by an old recipe from one of the gun captains aboard the Invulnerable Faith, who had taken pity on a poorly young fourth lieutenant he had found evacuating his stomach in the solitude behind the plasma relay dampers. The remnants of an ash and ginger biscuit were still sitting in Kulik's pocket, just in case of a resurgence of the ancient nemesis of nausea.
"Dear Emperor, please ensure that my ship survives this unnatural voyage, that my crew are delivered from the grip of the warp, and that my soul carries with me into the world of my mother," whispered Kulik.
Schaffenbeck was about 20 feet away, ostensibly to keep an eye on the junior officers, but Kulik caught the occasional glance in his direction too. The rest of the watch crew on the bridge knew well enough to give their commander adequate space at this delicate moment. For his part, Kulik was applying all the will he had not to stare at the transition countdown display, and occupied himself with an intimate inspection of the curlicue decoration of his sword hilt. Meanwhile, the depths of his guts churned in anticipation of the shrieking wail of a siren that would warn of a Geller field failure or warp engine malfunction. Sweat was wetting his overstarched shirt and the soles of his feet were itching, a sure sign that something was going to go wrong. He barely heard the servitor's drone conclude the countdown. One moment, Kulik was on the bridge of his ship, studying the lines of the basket hilt of his sword. The next moment, he was adrift on the void of space, his soul bared to the flare of a billion angry suns, scorching his being from the inside out. And then, they were back in real space. Kulik took a long, deep breath, nostrils flaring and eyes wide like a charging bull as he fought back the somersault in his stomach with raw willpower. His hands were balled fists at his side, fingernails digging into flesh. Finally, the captain let out an explosive breath.
"Full scan. Cycloplasma coils. Navigational shields to full power. Void shields generators to maximum. Targeting grids on full lock. All stations remain at battle readiness."
The orders were the same every time, issued without effort or thought. Similarly, the watch officers on the bridge, and no doubt the warrant and petty officers in the bowels of the Colossus, were acting even before the words left Kulik's lips. They had been through the actions enough times on the long rimward patrols that they knew the post-translation drill by heart. There was a slight cough from Lieutenant Schaffenbeck, and when Kulik looked at his second, the lieutenant shot a glance towards the doors of the bridge. There was another command, not so familiar.
"Oh, and please extend my invitation to Admiral Price to join me on the bridge," Kulik added.
As sensor vanes gathered data on the surrounding system, matriculation servitors analyzed the information and cross-referenced with their memory stores of the surrounding starfield, Saul double-checked the calculations of the lieutenant at helm control, Matthews, and nodded with satisfaction.
"Confirmed Vesperalis system, 70,000 miles inside the Mandeville Point, heading 0057, inclination 38.
"Captain!"
The sharp call came down from Ensign Dagan, assisting Lieutenant Sturmfell at the sensor banks on the level above Kulik.
"Reading multiple radiation sources, plasma discharge and other ordnance resonance."
"Evidence of an engagement," said Kulik, striding over to the scanner displays. "Boost power. We need more clarity on the full spectrum scan. Comms, broadcast identifiers, and scan battle frequencies."
Over the following minutes, the situation became clearer. Sensor tracers showed battle debris and munitions detonations ranging from several hours old to 10 days. Residual warp backwash located more than 50 vessels already in system, but scattered all around the perimeter as they had dropped out of warp space. A cluster of signals, almost at right angles to the Colossus's position on the system plane, showed where Admiral Lacaria's fleet was gathering. The orcs were even more numerous. Scores of escort size and dozens of cruiser class and larger ships flooded the system, operating in small battle groups that were targeting the isolated navy ships attempting to reach the converging fleet.
"Sir, we have an Imperial ship under attack to port," announced Lieutenant Sturmfell. "Cruiser class, three orc attack ships converging on their position. Read void shield overloads and superstructure damage. Radiation blossom indicates two destroyed orc ships in the vicinity."
Kulik watched as the relative positions of the ships were plotted on a sub-display while the main screen continued to fill out with system details. Planetary positions, gas clouds, asteroid belts and fields, and the scattered dispositions of both Imperial Navy and Greenskin vessels. There was a line of more than 30 red enemy sigils between the Colossus and the flag rune depicting Admiral Lacaria aboard the Defiant Monarch.
"Helm, come to new heading, 953, then all speed ahead," announced Kulik.
"It's the Saint Fatidicus, Captain," said Schaffenbeck, moving away from the communications console. "Captain Havart is issuing an all-channels request for assistance."
"Tell him we're on our way," said Kulik.
The doors growled open to allow Admiral Price to enter. He ran a quick, experienced eye over the screens and then turned to Kulik.
"You intend to assist the Saint Fatidicus?"
"Aye, sir," said Kulik.
The captain paused, waiting to see if Price would overrule the decision. An admiral had no authority to countermand a ship's captain in the running of his vessel, but he could issue orders to that captain to engage or break away if his vessel was not in immediate danger.
"Very good. Carry on, Captain Kulik," said Price, his voice quiet, the tone formal, as befitted a combat situation.
Kulik nodded and returned his attention to Schaffenbeck.
"Request that Captain Havart come to starboard by 50 points, if he is able. On our current course, that will ensure that the two orc ships are between the Colossus and the Saint Fatidicus." "He'll be showing his arse to the third orc ship," said Price.
Kulik darted a glance at the admiral, who held up his hands to admit he had overstepped his mark.
"Apologies, Captain. Please engage as you see fit."
"Saul!" "Captain Havart sends an acknowledgement, sir."
"The Saint Fatidicus is burning retro thrusters and coming to a new heading, Captain," reported Dagon. "Flanking orc attack ships are manoeuvring to intercept."
Surprised, Kulik turned his gaze to the tactical display. As the ensign had reported, the two orc ships to starboard of the Saint Fatidicus had altered course not to head directly to the cruiser's new course, but to overhaul the ship and attack from ahead.
"That's odd," he said out loud.
Schaffenbeck came up to stand at the captain's left.
"Aye, Captain, that's not usual orc behaviour, sir," said the lieutenant. "Normally they would just head directly for their target."
"Yes. But what's even stranger is that their current course will take them into the arc of the cruiser's torpedoes. If they're smart enough to attempt an overhaul, why can't they see that they'll be disadvantaged by it?"
The two officers fell silent as they contemplated the problem. Ensign Dagon hesitantly provided the answer.
"Sir, they think that we have torpedoes too. On our current heading, the Saint Fatidicus will be beyond the orc attack ships, meaning we cannot fire torpedoes without risking the other ship."
"Emperor's throne,"
muttered Schaffenbeck, as much out of appreciation as surprise.
"Don't blaspheme," Kulik replied automatically.
He examined the display and saw that Dagon was correct.
"That would be a wonderful plan, but we don't have torpedoes, do we? Let's make sure these greenskins pay for the mistake." "Pretty sophisticated thinking for a bunch of green-ass savages, isn't it?"
said Price, joining Kulik and Schaffenbeck at the command center of the bridge. The admiral had a frown of concern.
"There were reports that the orcs were acting in a more coordinated fashion than we've become accustomed to, but I don't think I really appreciated what that meant until right now. If they've discovered fleet tactics more advanced than simply charging full throttle and firing off everything they have, we could be in for even more of a fight here than I expected. The attack moon is going to be difficult enough. A properly organized fleet defense could make our mission here impossible."
Kulik looked at Price, surprised by the admission. The admiral looked genuinely worried, something Kulik had never seen before.
"It would seem that Admiral Lacaria was guilty of a similar underestimation, sir," said Schaffenbeck,
indicating the Imperial fleet bottled up at the edge of the system.
I expect he was hoping to make far more inward progress by this stage, perhaps even catch the orcs unawares.
One thing at a time, Saul, said Kulik. We'll help the Saint Fatidicus first, and then we can worry about the fleet situation later.
You mean I can worry about it, said Price. I know you've got used to commanding the patrol flotilla, but this is my fleet, remember.
Aye, sir, of course, said Kulik, accepting the criticism with a slight nod of the head. I did not mean to imply otherwise.
Of course not, said Price.
The Colossus powered towards the other Imperial ship, while the Saint Fatidicus turned towards them. As Price had predicted, one of the Orc attack ships fell in behind the cruiser directly aft when none of the Imperial vessel's weapons could be brought to bear. Shell detonations and sporadic blasts of laser fire rippled along the cruiser, exploding in flares of purple and blue against the void shields. It would be a rough ride for those aboard, Kulik was sure, but alone, the Orc ship didn't have enough firepower to breach the energy defences. Only when the other two Orc ships came into range would the Greenskins be able to punch through the void shields and inflict lasting damage.
I had hoped that the two ships would come and take us on once they saw we were attacking, Cooley confessed to Schaffenbeck. They don't stand a chance against a battleship, of course, but I've seen it happen before.
But these Greenskins are too smart for that, sir, said Schaffenbeck.
Well, we know that now, don't we? Kulik shrugged, dismissing his annoyance. Havart and his crew will have to weather a bit of rough treatment before we come into range.
Aye, sir. I'm sure it won't be anything they can't handle.
Kulik could feel that Colossus wasn't proceeding quite as he intended. There was something about the vibrations through the deck, the background hum, that dissatisfied the captain. He looked at the course projection on the screen and saw that they had made minor alterations to their heading twice since he had laid down their course.
Helm, can't you see a straight line?
Barked Kulik, rounding on the navigational crew.
Sorry, sir,
replied Lieutenant Asterax, whom Kulik had brought across to the Colossus when he had been made captain. Kulik expected better of his helmsman.
There's a 2-point drift to starboard, Captain.
Kulik grunted to acknowledge the response, and turned his attention to the Adeptus Mechanicus engine seer at the monitoring station on the upper level of the bridge.
Verstanden!
The captain's bellow brought the red-robed tech priest to the rail above. Her face was an articulated mask of silver and copper that showed no expression. An arterial cable spiraled away from her right temple to the cogitator behind her.
There's a plasma flutter in the starboard engines. You have 2 minutes to stabilize it before I send Mr. Schaffenbeck to take personal control.
Every ranking man and woman aboard knew what that really meant. If Kulik dispatched the first lieutenant to anybody's position, that officer would find themselves dumped dockside and on half reparations of the next port of call. Kulik expected the best. And there were stories of unfortunates left abandoned on star bases and orbital stations deep in wilderness space, who could not expect another Imperial vessel for many years. Decades, even.
Analyzing, Captain,
replied the engine seer before disappearing from view. Her voice always reminded Kulik of something silky and smooth, beguiling and utterly at odds with her inhuman appearance. Fastanderin seemed oblivious to the effect it could have on the men around her, having devoted her life to matters of the machine above the flesh more than 2 centuries previously. There was no need for a further report. Kulik could feel the dissonance that had niggled at him dissipating as the engine crews fixed the power imbalance. A few minutes later, and there had been no further adjustments from the helm crew.
Thank you, engine seer. Please ensure such a situation does not arise again.
I will recalibrate the monitors myself, Captain,
Fastanderin's reply drifted down. The battleship was converging rapidly with St. Fatidicus, with the Orc ships approaching from behind and to starboard of the cruiser. As Dagon had predicted, the flanking Orc vessels were between the two Imperial Navy ships.
When is Mr. Dagon due to sit his lieutenant's exam?
Kulik asked Saul quietly.
Next time we have any extended period at dock, sir, replied Saul. It should have taken place at Lepidus Prime, but events overtook us before the board could be arranged.
Well, ensure that he goes forward next time, insisted Kulik, and make sure he is thoroughly prepared. He's a good officer, Dagon. There's a ship somewhere that'll benefit greatly from his promotion.
I understand, sir, said Schaffenbeck, nodding. I will ensure he has my personal attention and tuition.
Very good.
Kulik raised his voice.
Fire arresters and slow to battle speed. All flight crews to launch stations. Divert power to lance batteries and weapons matrices. Pilots and gunners, prepare for launch orders. Lieutenant Sturmfell, what is the current condition of the St. Fatidicus?
It was a few seconds before the sensor officer made his reports. Her engines are running hot, but void shields are intact, sir. No additional damage yet.
Very well. Lieutenant Schaffenbeck, launch all fighter and bomber wings as soon as we have attained combat velocity. Comms, signal Captain Havart. When we have launched, he is to come about sharply and target the ship on his stern. We will engage the other Orc vessels.
Aye, aye, sir.
In the flight decks, pilots were warming up the plasma jets of their aircraft and ground crews were making last-minute checks on fitted ordnance and power feeds. Gun crews would be at their weapons, stripped to the waist, barefooted to get grip on the rippled floor of the gun decks. The gun captains and deck lieutenant would be reminding the crews to await their orders, to mark the targeting matrices. Energy was surging through the coils feeding the lance turrets, charging the building-sized capacitors that would power the devastating laser weapons. It was an illusion that Kulik thought he could feel the deceleration as the arrestor engines fired to reduce the battleship's speed, but the change in the throb along the deck under his feet was as much a signal as any report from the engine stations.
"Sir, Orc ships are firing on the St. Fatidicus," rasped Sturmfell.
He flicked a sweat-drooped fringe of dark hair out of his eyes.
"Extreme range! No hits yet!"
Kulik waited, affecting an air of calm, though inwardly he was counting down the seconds as the Colossus bled away enough momentum for the flight bays to disgorge their lethal cargo. Price moved closer, his presence a suddenly unfamiliar factor in an otherwise familiar environment.
"You have a bit of a flair for the dramatic, Raphael," the Admiral said conversationally.
Any worry Price might have shown earlier had completely disappeared. He now seemed as relaxed as if they were on a touring schooner taking a pleasure trip into orbit, not about to engage in a deadly exchange of laser and shell.
"Sir? Combat deceleration. Emergency launches. You know Captain Harvard could probably survive the extra couple of minutes it would have taken to perform a, let's say, more graceful entry into the combat sphere?"
"Starboard wings launching, sir," announced
Schaffenbeck, before the bemused captain could reply. Then a moment later,
"Port wings launching."
"Lance arrays, target closest Orc vessel. Attack wings are to engage second Orc vessel. Helm, stand ready to come to port by 12 points to bring starboard batteries to bear. Forward batteries, prepare to fire to starboard."
Kulik's rattle of orders were relayed by the gunnery officers to the relevant crews. The captain crossed his arms and half-turned towards Price.
"Dramatic, sir?"
Kulik's lips twitched with a smile.
"Positively theatrical, Raphael."
The Admiral grinned and turned away.
"Not that it is any of my business, of course, Captain. It is your ship."
"Sir, St. Fatidicus is under intense attack from all three ships. On screen! Now!"
The main display disappeared and became a swathe of black. A sparkle of light flittered in the top left corner. As the image resolved and magnified, the glittering patch became a scene of the four ships. The Imperial cruiser seemed to be burning along one flank, but Kulik realized it was simply the arrestor thrusts turning the ship sharply around as he had ordered. From turrets along the spine of the ship, bright white beams of lance shots cut and swerved across the ether. The whole ship was surrounded by a purplish miasma of discharging void shield energy. The Orc ship that had been on the cruiser's stern was a squat, blunt-nosed beast of a vessel, perhaps no more than 500 yards long, but almost half as broad and high at the front. 10, maybe 12 decks of guns and launchers bristled from its prow, massively front-heavy but capable of unleashing the equivalent firepower of a vessel many times its size. As the cruiser turned, the Orc slid amidships on the port side. St. Fatidicus's main broadside opened fire, engulfing the attack vessel with a welter of macro-shell detonations, even as the Orc's forward batteries spat out a hail of missiles and shells. The greenskin ploughed through the onslaught of the cruiser, debris spilling from impacts all along its hull, while its own fuselage continued, burrowing through the void shields before smashing with terminal force into the buttressed hull of the Saint Fatidicus. Gun decks exploded outwards as magazines were penetrated by the brutish salvo, spitting men and jagged metal into the void. Ahead of the Colossus, the other two orc ships were turning away from the battleship, concentrating their fire on the prow of the cruiser. With the Colossus in its current position, the cruiser could not launch its torpedoes. The battleship's forward guns were within range and suffered no such restriction.
Open fire! All batteries!
Targeting past the dozens of bombers and fighters now cutting a course toward the orc ships, the prow batteries lit up space with a pounding flurry of plasma shells and small-scale atomic warheads. They did not need to hit directly, the force of their detonations enough to cause the shields of the orc ship closest to the cruiser to flare bright orange, creating a stark silhouette of its bulbous, almost spherical hull.
"Retargeting," announced the gunnery commander.
He was on the upper deck, but his voice came through a speaker just in front of the command position where Kulik stood.
"Adjusting for range."
"Orc ships are turning, Captain,"
came the report from the scanning consoles.
"Here they come," whispered Schaffenbeck. "Straight for us, I bet."
"Belay fire order. Check new course headings," snapped Kulik.
He didn't want to risk hitting the St. Fatidicus if the orcs drastically changed their heading.
"Sir, the orcs are..."
The lieutenant stopped and double-checked his screens.
"Captain, the orcs are breaking away."
"They're what?"
Kulik's voice went up an octave with surprise.
"Disengaging, Captain. New headings are taking them away from the Colossus."
Kulik looked first at Schaffenbeck and then at Price. They were both as shocked as he was. It was the first lieutenant who voiced his surprise first.
"But surely that's premature. No orc would run from a fight without first at least firing a few salvos at us."
"They must have known they couldn't win against a cruiser and battleship combined," said Price. "I'm surprised they didn't cut away sooner rather than take the risk."
"Well, that's just it, isn't it, Admiral?" said Kulik. "They stayed long enough to inflict some damage on the St. Fatidicus and then disengaged. Hit and run."
"Do we recall air wings and pursue, Captain?" asked Schaffenbeck.
Kulik looked at the sub-display that now contained the strategic system map. The orcs were heading back towards a cluster of enemy signals around an asteroid field a few hundred thousand miles away. Only the enhanced sensor suites of an Oberon class could distinguish between the dormant attack ships and the celestial debris. The captain's eyebrows rose even higher.
Are they trying to lure us into an ambush?"
"Emperor's throne! That's subtle for an orc."
"Don't blaspheme,"